RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Boom. Good afternoon, Patriots. And welcome back to another exciting episode of Occam's Razor. Myself and Al Keelan of Uncensored Abe are so stoked to bring you today's news. There are a ton of excellent, excellent stories. You may or may not know, Project Veritas brought it home last night with another bombshell report, this time exposing a Pfizer executive admitting on camera that they are essentially doing gain-of-function research so that they can get ahead of the viral cycle and create vaccines ahead of time. It doesn't actually get recorded as gain-of-function research. It's, quote, directed evolution or intentional mutation, but it's basically gain-of-function. Incredible stuff. I think this is going to be the last chink in Pfizer's armor. People are already talking about it. Over 10 million views in just a couple of hours on Project Veritas's Twitter account. Do me a favor, whether you are on Rumble or the Foxhole, or you're over here on Odyssey, wherever you are, hit that like button, please. It really does help the show. And if we're on Rumble, we're trying to make it to the Rumble leaderboard. We have to get every single person watching this show to hit that up like, to hit that to hit the like button, to hit the plus sign, whatever it looks like on your end. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and Abe and I will be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the program, everyone. Thank you very much for being here. And once again, good to see you, Abe. How you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm sipping on my freshly ground organic Colombian coffee as well. Hanging out with you today. I'm looking forward, as always. Great crowd in the house, as always, over there on Rumble. First in the house, sleeve to him. You're first in the house. I'm claiming you. And D-Live, excuse me, Foxhole crowd, working their way in here today as well. Much love and God bless you all. Thanks for being here today, guys.
Gotta love it. Listen, before we jump into like any of the stories that I had prepared for you, Abe, I have an update on a story that I know I covered in the past because it was just so weird. Do you remember in 2021, there was a story that hit the news about a woman in Florida who was rescued from a storm drain? Apparently, she had been missing for 3 weeks and she had been lost in the sewers naked for 3 weeks. So it was a really weird story at the time, and I paid attention to it because it was down in Florida. It happened in Delray Beach. It's not that far from where I live. And so, you know, it's just something that I thought was kind of strange. This exact same woman, Abe, has just been rescued for the third time in less than 2 years from the storm drains. Apparently, again, a couple of weeks back, they rescued her from the Delray Beach storm drains. And it's like you got to ask yourself, what the hell is this woman doing? Why does she keep going down into the sewers? And if she's going to go down in the sewers, why don't you have like a backup plan? Well, you know, I mean, at least know what you're doing. Take a piece of chalk, mark the wall or something.
Right. Yeah, there's something, you know, with the history of the underground that we've done researched and, you know, the whole kind of underground world that appears to exist on our planet, it just makes you wonder if there's not more to the story there. What, you know, is there kind of something else happening there? It's an interesting story for sure, man.
So when she was plucked about a year ago, she told the police and the rescue people that she had been swimming in a canal near her boyfriend's house on March 3rd. And then while she was swimming, she entered a doorway in the shallow part of the canal. She saw a tunnel. And she just kept following it until she realized that she was lost. But apparently she just keeps doing it. It makes me wonder if maybe there's a mental illness component or if there is something going on down there in that sewer that makes her keep wanting to go in there and explore around. I mean, I get the adventure, right? You know, I mean, like, I've seen plenty of videos of people going into abandoned places and, you know, exploring tunnels underneath building complexes and under cities and stuff. And I think we're all pretty aware, like you said, of that underground world that exists down there. I mean, it's fascinating to me. But, you know, have a little bit of situational awareness, I suppose. Hopefully she doesn't get lost in the sewers again, or hopefully, you know, the worst possible thing doesn't happen. What happens if she goes down the wrong turn and she just gets stuck down there forever? 3 weeks is a long time.
So, funny story. While a friend of mine was going to Northern Illinois University, They and a bunch of other their friends, I heard anyway, that they went, they found these tunnels underneath the Northern Illinois University. And what's amazing about it is there's like a whole, like, labyrinth of them. I don't know what's the word you call for it.
I think that's
where you could quite easily get lost. And it is, I've heard it's like a really creepy experience. And it's, you know, it's very easy, like you said, to just, it all looks the same and you don't know where all of a sudden you get turned around and it's over. But so, yeah, you know, this story, like many out there who have explored different areas of their local surroundings, makes you wonder. It does. It makes you wonder what else is going on with the story, why that keeps happening.
Strange stuff. And I guess apparently all of these attempts to swim in the canals were not only in Florida, also happened in Texas. I guess it sounds like maybe there is a bit of mental illness or some drug abuse happening here. But I want to keep this woman in our prayers. Also, you guys, I haven't said this on this channel yet, but Lisa's grandma died this week. She was 95 and
sorry to hear them.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I'm sure she will, too. And so she and her father are back up in Ohio. They had to take the red eye out last night to go to the funeral. So just keep Lisa, keep her family in your prayers. I'm sure everybody remembers she lost her mom back in 2021. So, you know, this is a difficult time for everybody. Actually, now, yeah, it was 2021. I'm sorry. And so this was her mother's mom. So her grandmother on her mom's side. She was a great woman. Her name was Fanny. And, you know, well, I'll see if maybe Lisa wants to talk about her at some point in the future. But she's a little shy about coming on the channel. Janice 6966 over on Rumble says, hooray for DDoS. Now, when I hear DDoS, I think of a distributed denial of service attack. And I know that Rumble was under DDoS attack the other day. So but I don't think that Janice would be, you know, celebrating an attack on Rumble. So there must be some other DDoS that I'm not aware of that is something to celebrate. Abe, do you have any clue as to what that's about?
No.
Okay.
I really don't.
I had to make sure there wasn't something obvious that I was just overlooking. But please tell me, Janice, tell me exactly what that was. And thank you very much for all the kind words in the chat, you guys. I really appreciate it. Also, need to let everybody know, tonight at 7:30 p.m., Jake Lang is going to be calling back into the show from his new prison cell. He got transferred again. He's in Brooklyn now. And he just had a new documentary come out. He narrates the documentary, and people on the outside that are working with him and his team actually put it together and edited it. Ah, he says I was being sarcastic, bro. Okay, sweet. Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. Okay, thank you very much, Janice. Appreciate you. So Jake is going to be calling in, and we're going to be doing a live watch party of his new documentary so that, you know, you guys can see it. I want to make sure that everybody, as many people as possible, get their eyes on it, because we have a lot of good men that are still in prison that are not receiving adequate representation. You know, most people, when they're in trouble legally, they raise money for their own legal defense. Jake is raising money for the legal defense collectively of January 6th defendants. So he has raised so far a couple hundred thousand dollars. And with that money, he is securing patriotic American lawyers to represent these guys so that they can get the best possible defense that they're able to. And so I really commend Jake for doing that. You know, he's been in there for about two years now, all over the country. You know, they know that Jake has something special, and so they just keep moving him and trying to basically destroy his morale. But he refuses to let it happen. He's strong, you know, in his faith. He's strong in his hope for justice here in America. So if you can, be here tonight, 7:30. From 7:30 to 9, we're going to be watching that documentary and then having a chat. And then my friend CanCon is interviewing Ashley Babbitt's mom at 9 p.m. over on Badlands Media. So maybe jump over to Badlands from our show here. All right, let's
I'm glad you're having them on. I really appreciate Jay. Could you for me and for my audience ask him a question?
Sure.
Tell him there's people in the patriotic movement that say things like good that people got jail time through this January 6th committee and through our Department of Justice. Could you ask him what he would say to people who are not celebrating, but saying, well, some people deserved their lives to be destroyed by this committee? I would really appreciate that.
I absolutely will. And if you like, Abe, I am happy to put you directly in contact with Jake so that you can have him on your channel, too. I know that he wants to talk to as many other patriots as possible, and he wants to, you know, just do what he can to get the word out. And obviously, it keeps his morale up to stay in contact with people on the outside, especially when they keep moving him so that his friends and family can't actually come visit him in person. All right, so let us begin today in earnest by discussing the latest revelations from Project Veritas. If you guys haven't seen this, and I find it difficult to imagine that you haven't at this point, it was nothing short of a revelation. You know, Abe, Project Veritas always hypes up their releases. And I know that when you're the artist, when you're the journalist, and you're investigating these stories, of course you always believe that the information you're putting out is going to be paramount, the most important. I mean, do you agree with me on that?
You know, yeah. You know, you're trying for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You know, when you're the one who is presenting information, when you have a big story and you're breaking it, you believe that it's very important, and that is true to a varying degrees, I would say, once the story comes out and once the public reacts to it. You know, sometimes you have what I see as very important stories, and people just, you know, kind of ignore them because we're so used to this like constant 24-hour news cycle. People lose interest real fast. They move on to that next bright, shiny thing. Obviously,
a lot of shiny objects.
Lots of shiny objects. And they try to keep you guys off your balance on purpose. And this is one of those stories that I think is extremely important. And I dare I say it's one of the most important that Project Veritas was able to get, because they were able to, I think they were able to grinder meet up with this guy from Pfizer, and he is the director of research and development and strategic operations at Pfizer. Okay, when you think research and development, Abe, you're a pharmaceutical company, you just think that somebody is creating the next miracle drug, or maybe at one time that was the assumption. But now we think we have a more of a nefarious picture of what these people are actually doing. And after the on-camera confessions that this guy made, I couldn't even believe it. It was such a coup to be able to get this on camera. You can tell from the look in the dude's eyes, he thinks he's getting laid. And so he is laying it on thick. He is telling the Project Veritas journalist whatever he needs to go ahead and take him home that night. And he says, one of the things we're exploring is like, why don't we just mutate it, COVID, ourselves, so we could create, preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there is a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to have a pharma company mutating effing viruses. And in that one, he kind of hints that maybe that's something we're going to do. But in subsequent meetings with the journalist, he says in no uncertain terms that we are mutating COVID-19 vaccine, or excuse me, COVID-19 viruses or different strains of COVID to create what is referred to as a directed evolutionary strain or an intentionally mutated strain. And he also admits that it's very similar to gain of function research. I mean, Abe, just imagining the definition of gain of function. I mean, what are they doing? They are trying to make the disease more virulent, more communicable, more dangerous. So that way they can work ostensibly. OK, the reason behind it that they give publicly is so that they can then work on treatments to go up against those stronger strains. And in the case of Pfizer, they're developing these mutant strains so that they can develop a vaccine for that mutant strain. Now, that's one thing. If you've got a strain, let's say that virus or vaccines work and Pfizer's doing good work. Let's say you have a virus, they develop something that cures it, that gets pushed out to the public. That's one thing. But if they are creating versions of viruses in a lab so that they can then release them into the human population and then sell people a treatment based on what they've created, that is wholly unethical. And that is to me, that's exactly what happened with the initial release of COVID-19.
Yeah, man. You know, and then you got the other side of it too, the 78 members of Congress who recently failed to properly report their financial trades as mandated by the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012, known as the Stock Act.
Oh, yes.
You know, you got that insider part of that as well. But really, honestly, instead of talking about the three or four U.S. universities that were doing gain of function research with the help of Wuhan Institute and other biolabs, can we just talk about biolabs in Ukraine instead?
I think it's one subject of many that we need to make
Laying
sure
we
touch
on. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, you know, the Pfizer rep, head of research and development, he plays this word game, which is something that we see the elites, and I say elite derisively, okay, there's nothing elite about these people, but that's how they self-identify. And when you say that, people know exactly who you're talking about. There are a couple of you out there who are, more savvy than that, and you already know exactly what we're saying. So they play this word game. It's not gain of function. It's directed evolution. Not gain of function. It's intentional mutation. They always replace language so that it softens it in your palate, so that it becomes something that's easier for you to accept. You know, oh, it's not genocide, it's population control. You know what I mean? Same kind of thing.
Yeah, I see the new fun for our chatters is just constantly dropping links in the chat. If you guys could kind of dial back on that a little bit, we'd appreciate it. I look forward to the Rumble days where they are more able to handle things in chat. You would think Rumble might make that a priority, you know what I'm saying? They have some options now where you can handle some moderating on Rumble now. But anyways, the point that you're trying to get to, mm-hmm. the gain of function research, that is actually what is defined what that actually means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is exactly that. It is ways of changing the human DNA makeup. Is it not? Is that not what we've learned with this? It's so, you know, a lot of people, the reason why this is almost shocking in some way for most people is we went from it's our choice whether we want to get the jab or not. And from there it went to, wow, there's a lot of sudden deaths happening. People are starting to notice. To last night on Twitter, the evolution, what'd you call it?
Intentional or directed evolution.
Directed evolution was trending on Twitter. So, you know, I mean, the timing of all of this is also interesting to me, watching how this is all rolling out, and you're starting to see people really awaken more to the realities that they already knew. Big Pharma, you know, the left is the one who warned us about Big Pharma, are they not? So yes, mm-hmm. It is. It's interesting.
It's extremely interesting. And going further, the person from Pfizer also actually details the exact process by which it would happen. Don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. The way the experiment would work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successively cause them to keep infecting each other, and we collect serial samples from them. And again, that sounds a lot like the research that was being done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but they were doing it in bats. Monkeys is, you know, traditionally the way that they have developed these types of things in American labs. But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. It sure sounds like gain of function research, but it's directed evolution. It's totally different because it's a mutation that confers new or enhanced activity on a protein, which is totally different from the gain of function processes that have been done all over NIH labs and Wuhan Institute of Virology. You're not supposed to do gain of function research. But again, because they changed the definition, it's like, what is the definition of a woman? They change it so that people will be confused and they will go ahead and just gloss right over it. So it's my hope that with this release, we're going to see some real accountability. Somebody is going to have to ask Pfizer these tough questions. And now that this person has spilled the beans, he's the perfect guy to go ahead and testify in Congress. I dare to say he probably won't be working at Pfizer for much longer. So they're going to need to get somebody who actually is a high-level executive or somebody else in the research and development portion of Pfizer to come in and testify. Free Granny 1776 says, I'm shocked Christine Grady at the NIH, head of bioethics human research, wasn't on top of this. Oh, wait, she's married to Tony Fauci. And on that note, another interesting tidbit that this Pfizer employee reveals is that the pharmaceutical industry and the regulators are a revolving door of people coming and going. And Abe, this is nothing new. This is exactly how the process works. It's incredible to hear these people say these things in private. And then when they go public, like say in front of Congress, they say, oh, you know, we have the strictest possible ethics and regulators keep the industries honest. No, the truth is that regulators allow the pharmaceutical companies or the clearinghouses and the Wall Street banks to do whatever they want so that once they approve them for something and their time is up in government, they can then go immediately to that company and get a multi-million dollar gig working there. There's absolutely no accountability and there is no honesty or ethics. And I think an excellent example of this specifically is what happens on Wall Street. Now, you mentioned the insider trading that congressional representatives and senators are able to do. If we take a look back at the beginning of the pandemic, they had a private closed door meeting and a lot of five people in particular immediately went out and sold all of their stocks in like hospitality and airlines because they knew those industries were going to crash. They knew that it was going to be a money loss for them. So using their insider information, they got out ahead of it. Now, Nancy Pelosi and Paul Pelosi just did that exact same thing. When they learned that Google had an antitrust suit coming from the DOJ just filed this week, nobody else knew it was coming necessarily. Paul Pelosi dumped 30,000 shares of Google. I think this was back in December when it first came upon their radar. Now, obviously, Google has been one of the best performing stocks like of the index, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's been a big cash cow for a lot of people. Google has their tendrils like tentacles seeping into so many different aspects of our society and business and technology. And most people at that time were probably holding on to their Google stock because they thought, oh, you know, Google's just going to continue going up. So what did they do? The Pelosis, they had insider information and they went and sold their stock. And now, as a result of that DOJ antitrust suit, Google is down 4%. So you could arguably say that Nancy Pelosi and Paul Pelosi made out like bandits on this sale. And it is totally legal for Congress to do this, although it's also totally unethical and it's something that they shouldn't be allowed to do. So the reason we are talking about it in this context is because Josh Hawley just introduced a resolution. He's calling it the Pelosi Act. It's going to ban congressional members and their spouses from trading stocks. I don't know that it's going to be able to make it through because let's be honest, you know, this is like the fox guarding the hen house. Is the fox ever going to stop itself from eating chickens or stealing the eggs? I don't think so. But this is an issue that I think everybody can get behind. It should be non-political. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, I believe this is something that we need to put pressure on Washington, D.C. to make sure that something like this gets done. It's been going on for so long, and this is exactly the reason why people like Liz Cheney leave office with tens of millions of dollars when they came in with just a scant several million dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because this, what I was mentioning in 2012, the Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012, known as the Stock Act, it all it does is it requires any lawmaker or themselves, a spouse or a dependent child, to publicly disclose any stock trades.
But and it's after the fact. It's after the fact.
About it, They have to say they made it, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what the, you know what happens if they don't? It's a $200 fine.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, for a normal person, like, let's say Abe and I had enough money to put into the stock market, if that was possible, right. And we were, you know, in the course of our business as journalists, if somebody in the DOJ sent us a tip and said, hey, guess what? We're going to file an antitrust case against Google here in 4 weeks. If you've got any Google stock, you better share it. Excuse me, you better sell it. And we did do that. Well, you better believe the full weight of the United States government would come down upon us and we would be prosecuted for insider trading. It happens all the time, but it doesn't happen to people like Nancy Pelosi or Paul Pelosi, for that matter. So I don't care. I don't care that they have to tell us that. We're going to find out regardless of whether or not they actually put it out there on a periodic transaction report. The Anons out there watch Nancy Pelosi like a hawk. You can actually follow the Pelosi stock tracker and she does. Yes, you can do what she does if you play the stock market, and you can make out like a bandit. I mean, it's better performing than any of the funds out there. And believe me, it's because Nancy Pelosi gets insider information. But yeah, and that's actually where these tweets are from. Nancy Pelosi stock tracker. I didn't realize it's a verified account right now. But we cannot allow this to happen.
It's interesting that the Google stock, you know, I noticed that too, Glenn. I was watching Google stock peaked in December at 146.43. Yesterday, it closed at 88.8.
Whoa.
And it has a huge bounce, but it's down almost half for the year, man. So, you know, we've talked about, remember the Q post second quarter Google's gonna have some, wasn't it second quarter watch Google stock, something like that, I can't remember. Yeah. Anyways, point being, it does seem that there's a lot of other things, not just with Google. If you look at all the major tech companies that we have talked about on this front, Netflix, Facebook, Twitter, not so much anymore, but all of the Microsoft, all of the tech giants, their stocks seem to have been hit abnormally higher than most of the other in general in the sector. So, yeah. You know, it's as if the insiders know something is coming on that big stock front. And also, you know, I want to, before I get off topic, let's just go ahead where you back work, because I don't want to talk too much about Google.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, before we get into the second half of the show, got to take a break for the second half. So thank you very much for supporting my sponsor in advance. All right. I see Brooklyn out there in the chat. Thank you very much for sharing the links. And you will be happy to know that I just made contact with a father who's been fighting against CRT and the communist indoctrination of our children at the public school where his kids go. And he's been attacked by Antifa. He's been doxxed. They've harassed him at his job. And so he's going to be coming on the show to talk about his efforts. And also, if you're a parent, what you can do to expose this stuff. On that note, actually, there is a story that touches on that. But before I bring that up, Trisha Q Patriot Texas said this rant is for the over 2000 listeners on Rumble. If you haven't hit that thumbs up, why not? So far, it looks like we've had about 285 people hit that thumbs up and we've got 2940 watching. So if you would, I would so appreciate it. It's absolutely free and it really, really helps out the channel.
It really helps. I'm not sure if Rumble crowd knows how much it really helps content creators to just take that second to hit the thumbs up button. Much love to everyone out there being here today, guys.
Absolutely. And there's more Pelosi news, but just on the note of the indoctrination of our children, I don't want to go into this too much because it's kind of lewd and pornographic. But parents in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Abe, this is relevant for you. They uncovered some disgusting gay porn in their children's school library. You can see on screen there are cartoon depictions of men performing oral sex on each other. And it's not like it's an instructional book. Like, I mean, this is straight up gay porn that is in the library where these children have access to it. It's absolutely disgusting. It's morally reprehensible. This is what the left is fighting for. For the people out there who say that I'm some crazy conspiracy theorist or that I'm on the wrong side, if you believe that it's good and virtuous to pimp out children, to hand them pornographic material and make that available to them at their school and their libraries, you are the one who is wrong. You're the one who's part of the problem. There is nothing more disgusting to me than the victimization of children. Children are innocent. They should be allowed to remain innocent, and they should not be exposed to this filth even after they turn 18, in my opinion. Okay, I think that porn is bad for people. I think that it changes your brain. That's actually been proven. And it gives people an unrealistic expectation of what really happens out in the world. It also directs people away from marriage. It directs people away from a healthy monogamous relationship so that they can procreate, have children, and continue to propagate the species with the best possible stock of American patriots. So I'm going to see if I can get a hold of these parents personally. And it's just a horrible story. I'm shocked every time I see these things. But the prevalence of them shows me that this is probably happening a lot more than we even know. Think about how many books are in a library, Abe. Think about how many opportunities there are for these people to infect the minds of children. It's yes, pedophilia is a disease. It's actually a disease.
I take that as an action item. Honestly, if I'm a parent out there, I'm going to go take a look and see what books those were and then see if any of those are in my area, in my library, in my local area. You know, I mean, that's the only way we're going to get this done. It's going to have to be us doing the work.
Yes, 100%. This shows you more than anything how profound an effect you as an individual can have on your local community and on future generations. All it took was these parents doing a little bit of background, going in and actually checking to see if their children were being exposed to this disgusting material. You can easily do the same thing. You personally can be responsible for shielding and protecting the mind of a single young child and helping them to grow up into a happy, successful, and well-adjusted adult. Low Country Brooklyn says, we are fighting the books in North Carolina and have entire groups working on this and a database of the title. Oh, that's actually really awesome. The books are part of CAC, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, which is under the umbrella of SEL. Richard Dollar says, my daughter is trained professional and could tell us all about it. Trained professional, like she's actually going out and professionally finding these books. Whatever it is, anybody out there who is working on exposing this stuff, working on protecting children, good for you. Continue to do it. It's another one of those things, just like the first story, Abe. Congress, insider trading, not political. They shouldn't be doing it, and it hurts everyone. The only person it helps is the freaking politicians who are not getting elected because they care about America. These types of activities taking place in schools and in libraries all across the nation, all it does is hurt children and it hurts society as a whole. So it's a worthwhile endeavor. And anybody out there who is actively working on this, thank God, bless you. You are the future of this nation. Let me also bring up one more bit about Paul Pelosi. This is going to be another huge story once we actually get the footage. A San Francisco judge has just decided that the attack footage from Paul Pelosi and David DePompe with Maxwell's silver hammer, this is now going to be released to the public. And this is coming as a result of a number of mainstream media organizations. That includes the Associated Press, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Press Democrat, CNN, Fox News, CBS, ABC, NBC, and KQED. Now, with so many of these news organizations, I use that term loosely, getting this footage, I'm pretty certain that it's not going to be covered up. At least one of them is going to release it in its entirety. And, think about that guy from NBC, Abe, who was fired and his report was taken down because he said that, you know, we heard there was a third person and that's on body cam. And they immediately tried to cover it up. Is he going to get his job back? Are they going to apologize to him? Is he maybe going to have a lawsuit against NBC for wrongful termination? I don't know. I'm pretty excited to see what's on that tape, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see for sure, because, the original story that came out was was changed very quickly. The narrative on it just was like, no, that didn't happen. And stop talking about that. And then, you know, it was interesting to see how they changed it to a whole different thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all know what the truth is here, right? I mean, mm-hmm. This was obviously some kind of crazy sex party thing gone wrong. And I think that's going to end up, I think that's going to be end up what we're probably going to end up finding out, which is going to be pretty hilarious.
So the prosecutor did not want this footage to come out. And I think that it's understandable that David DePompe and his legal team did not want it to come out yet as well. I think there is an argument to be made that he could potentially not get a fair and impartial jury if that jury is able to see the footage. But there is a vast precedent that in the United States for this type of footage to be released in advance of a trial like this. It's the information age. It's the internet age. People are going to find it. People are going to see it. And let's be honest, juries lie all the time. And if he gets a San Francisco jury, I don't think there's any way that they're not going to vote, to convict him, because Nancy Pelosi and San Francisco go hand in hand. So does Paul Pelosi. Hold on just a sec. Abe, can you take over for a second?
Yeah, not a problem. I got you. Everyone over there on the Foxhole, great to see you guys over there today. Just Dookies and Nakaz, names I don't recognize. Thanks for being over here. Thanks for the support.
I'm on the air. Appreciate you all very much.
Elaine, good to see you into a private, to a public homeschool here in Texas. Hard work, tougher budget, but totally worth it. Indeed. And that's why a lot of us who have been, activists in this community for a long time have tried to bring school choice to the forefront of the discussion on this, because by empowering parents through school vouchers and putting the money in the parents' hands, you enable them to make those choices much easier. It's great to see Iowa joining the crowd on the school choice front as well recently.
Absolutely. Mr. Anderson Lives said, sound with question marks. There is no issue with the sound. So if you're not getting any sound, if somebody could tell him in the chat, if you're not getting sound, just refresh the feed. All right. So as I was saying, the prosecutor and David DePompe's legal team wanted to keep this a secret. So the prosecutor said, actually cited conspiracy theories as a reason to not release the footage. Isn't that interesting? Conspiracy theories, the wild conspiracy theories and the misinformation that are being disseminated by mainstream and fringe media around this case could make the footage become a vehicle for improper purposes. Well, Abe, we all know that the best disinfectant is sunlight. You just put the information out there in the public and people can make up their own mind. If we've got, say, I don't know how many officers were on scene, but let's say at least three, maybe three to six, probably, because this was a VIP. They probably did not scrimp when it came to Paul Pelosi's mansion. And also keep in mind that San Francisco is one of those areas that has significantly reduced their police force, and there's a lot of crime. I was just seeing Benny Johnson and his team went to Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's mansion in the weeks before, and they were actually robbed right in front of her house. Somebody stole their backpack, and actually physically robbed them. So San Francisco is dangerous. It generally is not that swift of an action for police to show up to a 911 call. So they only came because it was Paul Pelosi. And each one of them is going to have the body camera footage. And we're going to be able to put it together in a timeline and show all of those different angles. And we'll see, was Paul Pelosi and David DePompe, were they alone? Was there a third person who was perhaps, working the electronics or actually holding the hammer for David DePompe or opening the door for the police, as NBC said.
So in the guise of justice, you and I have talked deeply about this topic for the past couple of years, and we've tried to convey to our audience how things are going to play themselves out. Correct me if I'm wrong. McCain, Bush, Cheney. Pelosi's no longer Speaker of the House, power removed. And now you see all of these scandals happening around Schiff Head, and the Gang of Eight is no longer there. Literally the whole Gang of Eight that was there during the Russia scandal is no longer part of the Gang of Eight. The people that were the head of the FBI, to include the director of the FBI, have been fired. So what you're seeing here, you can choose to believe it or not, is a much bigger picture of change happening in our world and more importantly in our country, and how it's going to continue to play itself off. I'm out of popcorn, actually. I think I forgot to buy some more popcorn yesterday on my $100 shopping spree at the grocery market for a week's worth of food.
How about the fact that we just learned that the lead FBI agent working on Russia collusion was actually colluding with Russia? I mean, the irony of these people being exposed over and over and over again for the exact same thing they are accusing President Trump of. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And although for some people, maybe it seems like it's taking a long time, you know, maybe you don't have as much patience as somebody who's been watching this play out for a really long time, years, decades in some cases. You know, you got to remember that this is a war, and we are fighting battles of incremental victory. And there are steps forward. There are steps back. The line, so to speak, that line in the sand, it gets pushed forward, it gets pushed back a little bit, and we just got to keep fighting. You know, this is probably going to take a lot longer than most people thought it would, because the federal government is a massive corrupt organization. The rot within the federal government is so deep. To excise that rot is going to take a tremendous amount of effort. But I think that we are going at a great pace, because the FBI actually working for Oleg Deripaska, the Russian oligarch, the irony there is just, you know, something that I can't even. And Adam Schiff, also people you were mentioning are no longer there. Dianne Feinstein, who we know is non-compos mentis, she's going to be leaving her seat. And apparently Adam Schiff just announced that he's going to be running for her seat. So we have an open seat in the Senate that Adam Schiff is going to be leaving his seat in the House, and we have the potential to elect a Republican in place of Dianne Feinstein. I know that she has had that seat for decades, but it's a possibility.
So you're going to watch this, for those of you out there that are astute at observing how all this plays out. Watch as all of these people who have rumors around them of criminality involved in Russiagate and the rest all run for office so that they can claim that it's just a political attack and they're just trying to destroy me. Watch as that happens. And that's exactly how Shifthead is positioning himself, because he knows exactly what's coming his way, too.
Oh, absolutely. He does. Adam Schiff is in pure panic mode right now. He's trying to hang on to any last vestige of power that he possibly can, because that's the only way he's going to save his ass, is by staying in government. But I hope that the people of California are smart enough to vote for someone else, because he has been a disappointment in the House. He has been a disappointment to America. He is a serial liar and a serial leaker. Adam Schiff is one of the least honest people that I've ever covered on this channel. And another one of those not honest people is James Comey. And this is along the lines of that story of the FBI agent who was running the Russia collusion investigation, Charles McGonigal. The Wall Street Journal is mocking the FBI and mocking James Comey. The alleged culprit was a member of Mr. Comey's own team. Mr. Comey's own team. So if there's any more reasoning that you need to put on paper to show that the Russia collusion investigation was a scam and was a witch hunt from the very beginning, you can look at this one instance right here. And what I'm most interested in here, Abe, is the response. How are the left going to respond to this? Because the Russia collusion investigation, even though they found no wrongdoing, President Trump has no crimes that he committed, he hasn't been charged with anything, he could not be charged with anything because at the time he was president, of course, he did nothing wrong. I still hear this cited by people on the left. I still hear people pointing to the investigation. Well, you know, the FBI investigated. Why would they investigate him unless something had actually been going on? Well, you know, I present that innocent people are investigated and railroaded by the federal government all the time. just because the FBI or the DOJ is coming to get you, they're looking to destroy you in your life, it does not mean that you're guilty. And that's one of the tenets of the American justice system. Innocent until proven guilty. And time again, the left keeps pretending that Trump is guilty and we've already proven it. And it's never happened. He is the Teflon Don for a reason.
Yep. And the Mueller-Weissman combination, if anyone who actually did the dig on Mueller and Weissman, you know that the FBI has been used throughout its existence to make sure that embarrassing information or cover-ups that are in process continue to be covered up so that the information doesn't get out to the public. And the way that they do that is basically they destroy anybody who knows anything about this embarrassing information. This is what they have done for a long time. If you look into Weissman and what he has done, part of the Enron and a bunch of other scandals out there, you'll see exactly this. And so the question is where do we go into the future? Do we see a Department of Justice right now and an FBI right now that is aggressively going after criminals and trafficking and fentanyl and things like that? Or do you see daily DOJ announcements about equal rights? Somebody got arrested for not treating somebody equally, or some bullshit, or some speech about this or that or the other. So, you know, when we look at how this is going to play itself out over the next 2 years, we need to keep in mind that Garland is nothing but a globalist deep state puppet controlled by Barack Obama. So, you know, Ray was just at WEF, right? So, Ray's best buddy is involved in this special counsel bullshit. So how does this play itself out? Shiny freaking objects everywhere, every single day that hopefully Americans don't get wrapped up in, because you're starting to see like the shootings. You're starting to see, every single day there's a new "It Bleeds, It Leads" headline on the news. And the reason why you see that is because of what's really happening, the information that's really coming out in the let's just call it what it is, in the citizen journalist community that work itself up to the public sphere. So that's why so many people have come to listen to you, Zach, and other and others, because this information is legit information, and the way that the mainstream media and especially the Republican establishment ensures that embarrassing stuff kind of stays down. They make sure that information doesn't make it out to the fold, and that's why you see, for instance, BlackRock advertising on freaking Fox News every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I have a response to somebody in the chat said, you know, I don't understand how you're saying we should vote these people out when we know the election system is compromised. And, you know, to a degree, you're absolutely right. But we have had instances where we have successfully been able to remove people from office. And it's not simply through the act of voting, but most importantly, and I have said this on so many different occasions, we have got to begin at the local level. The election system is broken in the United States, but it is not entirely lost. We have had instances recently in Wisconsin, especially, Abe, they're working on cleaning up those voter rolls. 3.6 million ineligible voters that are no longer going to be on there. That's 3.6 million less ballots that they're going to be able to use to pad the system. And, you know, that is very important. Take a look at this. Mount Shasta, California, Board of Supervisors in Shasta County. They have voted to terminate their contract with Dominion Voting Systems and end its use in elections. That means that that's one county in California that they're not going to be able to use electronic voting machines to cheat. This shows you that this can be done anywhere, Abe. All right. California is a, you know, it's controlled by liberals, but it has a large Republican component to it. In Northern California, this is a pretty Republican area, a little bit woo woo, you know, but these people are generally conservative. They want to be left alone. You can do this. You, through your own actions, can do this in your own county. And if we're going to fix the election system, we got to start where it is broken. We've got to work on it. But does that mean that we shouldn't not try to vote people out of office in the meantime? Absolutely not.
You can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it.
More importantly, we are doing it, man. That's the other thing. That story isn't getting getting told by the mainstream media. Every single state, almost, especially key states, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas, a bunch of key states, Pennsylvania even. And also, if I could pull your chat while we're talking about this real quick here.
Sure.
Chat. How many of you out there have hope or believe that there's a chance of a re-election in the Carrie Lake trial? A one in chat if you have hope for the Carrie Lake lawsuit, a two in chat if you're like, same old, same old. So give me an idea of where you guys are at out there, because Tracy Beans and I and several others have been trying to talk about the legal side of Carrie Lake's case and the genius lawyers behind it and how they wrote the lawsuit and how they targeted specific statutes in the state of Arizona. So that's why I'm curious, kind of curious about how your chat thinks about it, because there's a real legitimate chance that could result in a new election. And
right.
Similarly, there have been others throughout the country that have shown proof of fraud in elections where the election has been either assigned to the opponent, right? Or, mm-hmm. or again, re-elections. That also, there's plenty of precedent all around the country, and I'm really glad to see the it's same good. Optimism out there as well.
Yeah. You know, and especially with the new evidence that is part of this new lawsuit, or this appeal, rather, and the fact that it's before a different court. It's not the same district judge. OK, it's a little bit harder to control a panel of judges. And I think that the evidence that they're putting in here, and the way, like you said, that they've written this lawsuit and the statutes that they're targeting, it is far more likely that they're going to be successful at this higher level. And even if they fail at the Arizona State Supreme Court level, then there is a chance that they could go on to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I don't think they're going to have to. All we need is to show that this election was fraudulent and that it was unfair in the way that these votes were counted. And they can prove that nearly 300,000 ballots failed signature verification. This is clearly far more than the margin of victory. And at the very least, it calls into question those official results. And understanding that Katie Hobbs certified her own fraudulent election, this is, again, the fox guarding the hen house. Katie Hobbs was sucking eggs on the day that this election was certified. OK, she was that fox in the hen house. And I think that they have the very distinct possibility of being able to prove it.
She's caught red handed. All right. Yeah. There's no way to go. There's no way to deny it. Now, I don't do hopium. I do legal analysis. Yeah. I bring you the reasons and the analyses behind things about why I think they're important. Now, I thought Texas versus United States and being joined by 20 some states, I thought there was something there too. So, you know, but the problem is that it didn't show harm. You can't prove harm in a class action lawsuit, really. How does a voter an unconstitutional vote in Pennsylvania harm somebody in Texas? It's very mm-hmm. hard to prove that.
Yeah.
In Carrie Lake's case, not only do they target specific statutes, but they show harm not only to the voters. I know you are not only to the voters of Arizona, but to Carrie Lake as well. And that's why I think it may not even have to go to the Supreme Court, to be completely honest.
All right. So Web Racing says, how are we going to get any justice when they're just investigating themselves and covering up their crimes? They is a very broad term. And I think, and I've said this on so many occasions, we need to think smaller. Okay. All politics is local. And the crimes start out at the local level as well. So we have to work our way up. The only way that we can get a wide range of America First Patriots into state and national office is to elect them first at the local level so that they have the proven track record, so that they understand what they're doing, so that they are then part of that Republican caucus, which will be allowed to run. And even more importantly, we have to control the Republican Party itself. And I'll tell you what, guys, we're closer than ever to getting our hands on the RNC. Right now, the latest polls show that Mike Lindell is topping Ronna McDaniel and Harmeet Dhillon in the race for Republican chair. Now, when Mike Lindell announced that he was going to be running for RNC chair, there were a lot of people who just snickered. You know, people think, Mike Lindell, he's a sweet guy. He's got a lot of money. But, you know, what's he really doing? I'll tell you what, Mike Lindell has devoted his life and his fortune to not only proving the fraud that took place in 2020 and now in 2022, but he is putting his money where his mouth is, and he is doing what he as an individual can to help fix this country. And in order to be RNC chair, you've got to have prestige, you got to have name recognition, you got to be powerful within the Republican Party, you got to have the money. And believe me, he's got all of them. I love Mike Lindell. He is one of the coolest, nicest, most genuine people that I've ever met. And once if he becomes RNC chair, Abe, the platform of the party is going to change. Okay? It will be drastically different. And all of the issues that we've had thus far with the RNC not supporting the candidates that we want, that ends. Okay? That goes away. This is going to become a sea change, like one of those moments that you can look back on and you can say, that was the moment everything changed. This is my opinion, okay? This is my opinion. But I honestly believe that to be the case. And, you know, it's things like this, the efforts of individual people that give me hope and that show me that we can't just give up. We can't just, everything's screwed. You know, might as well just go get drunk and, you just can't do that.
You just give up. Nothing's ever going to change. No, you can't do that. And not only that, bro, the problem with the Republican Party right now is Ronna McDaniel not only did not step up to the plate legally, like she said she was going to ahead of time for these elections, but she's letting the Republican Party in states run amok and do whatever the hell they want. Yep. For instance, in Wisconsin, Paul Ryan and Robin Voss basically are doing whatever the hell they want with the Republican establishment in Wisconsin and making sure that their guys stay in place. I think if we were to find, in my opinion, I want Harmeet because I'm more of a strategic mind. I want somebody who has the legal side of the things who can address these issues that that the Democrats have obviously done a very good job of. I mean, they had like 3,000 lawyers in the 2020 election all over the country getting ahead of any issues that would challenge their results. And the problem with Ronna, she has let these Republican Party establishments in each individual states run amok, run right over her. We need somebody with the power, the will, and the backbone to stand up to the establishment in the states.
Absolutely. Yes. Now, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is who the people in the RNC end up voting for. But I think that objectively, you can look at the performance of the Republican Party over the last several years, and you can say that it has not measured up to the needs of the American people as a whole. Something different has to be done. And Mike Lindell has got the popular support that is necessary, and I believe the insight and the knowledge to do this correctly. Now, Harmeet Dillon, I like her too. All right, she's very smart. Obviously, I think that she is a patriot. And if she doesn't become RNC chair, well, then that means that she can still take on some leadership role at the RNC. She can still be working with them. Yeah.
I like what Elaine says. We don't need a lawyer leading. We want a leader leading lawyers. That's a great point, Elaine. I love that.
That's perfect.
And to your point also, when you change the RNC establishment, When you change the power structure of that, yes, you get a sea change that's going to reverberate throughout history, just as President Trump has.
All right. Low Country Brooklyn, take it easy. Thanks for hanging out with us. All right. So here's another example. We have another county. This is also in California, Kern County. The citizens of Kern County want to meet with their own board of supervisors to have a meeting and discuss election integrity and their concerns with the use of Dominion voting systems as well and the impact that it has on the results of elections. Now, this is as a result, in my opinion, at least it's in close proximity to the decision that was just made in Shasta County. That's a huge win. All right. And all we need is for select counties, select cities, select states at the end of the day to start taking a look at this. Okay. And I think that once we have a significant amount of momentum, you know, I think it's going to be a lot easier for these places to do it. But more importantly, we need the voices of the people. We need you guys out there in the chat to put the pressure on these people. And we have shown that pressure works. Politicians don't want to be bothered, okay? By and large, these people just want to show up, collect a paycheck, and then get rich at the end of the day based upon the decisions they make while they're in office. We have to make it not that easy for them. We have to be there to hold their feet to the flames. And as we saw in Shasta County, and we'll go ahead and see what happens in Kern County as well, it may be something that works. We should be doing this all over the nation. In every state where Dominion voting systems is being used, we need to be putting the pressure on these people. We need to let them know that as long as they're in office and as long as Dominion is the voting system of choice, we shouldn't be using any of these electronic voting systems, but very specifically Dominion. We have to show them that they're not going to get any rest, Abe. They're not going to get any sleep about this. Their entire day is going to be made up of calls, of visits, of letters, of emails from concerned citizens, people that they represent, letting them know that we don't want Dominion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who have meathead representatives that don't represent them. So no matter what they do, no matter how much they yell and talk to them, it is does no good. Catherine has a new locals that was out this week. Please go check out True the Vote and watch that if you guys get time. What we're asking for and what they're trying to organize is local patriots addressing the voter rolls at the local level. And there are ways and actions that you can take at your very local county levels where you can start to get the discussion about your voter rolls at a local level into the sphere and into the discussion of your political areas. And I think all of us should be looking into our voter rolls locally as well, taking action on that front like many have, like you've been talking about today, man, all around the country, great patriots standing up and making changes on this front. So it is not as if we can't make change, and it is not as if things aren't changing. Both are happening at the same time.
Absolutely. A case in point, Standby in the chat has become a precinct committeeman. This is something that we, Abe, have been talking about for a couple of years now. The precinct committeeman slots are more important than you can possibly imagine. And we are still at like a 50% vacancy in the RNC all across the entire United States. So the chances that you could potentially become a PC are very, very likely. If you don't know what that is, then I suggest you go back and watch the interviews I did with Dan Schultz, the creator of the Precinct Strategy. You can go to precinctstrategy.com. Stand by. Thank you so much for becoming a PC. Another very important tool that we have coming up, and I know that we're running a little bit late, but I wanted to wrap up on this, Abe, is the new committee in the House to investigate the abuses of government, the weaponization of the U.S. government. And Congress has the ability to perform oversight. Obviously, they create laws. They create these various federal agencies that they abdicate some of their powers to so that they don't have to worry about it. And we understand, because we've been paying attention, that the DOJ and the FBI have been weaponized against us. And President Trump obviously knows as well. He put out a video on Truth Social talking about it. And there's no shortage of things that they can look into. If anything, that's going to be the only thing hampering the committee, Abe, is because there's just so much that they can investigate. And once they do investigate, as Congress, they have the power to change what's happening at those agencies. So we know, obviously, the Mueller witch hunt, tens of millions of dollars wasted on nothing. We know now that an FBI agent leading the investigation into Russia collusion was actually colluding with Russia. FBI and CIA agents intervening in American politics, intervening in the election. We know about the tech giants that were influenced by the United States government. The list goes on and on. There is, hold on. That's exactly what we need to do, is to address each of these things. And now we have an actual opportunity to do it. So it's maybe for some too little too late, but you got to start better late than never. And it took some time to get us into a position where we could have allies in Congress that could do it. But I believe that we're actually doing it now.
We are getting there, you know, and you know, part of the McCarthy battle was just that, you know, making sure that they understood, hey, The grassroots out here still has a voice. Just want to let you know, knock, knock, knock. You know, that's really what that was about. And the changes that we were able to get in place through with the help of some great patriots who have been part of this whole movement, too, for a long time, fighting through all the, you know, shiny objects and the rest. You know, it's easy to be so jaded that nothing's ever going to change, right? So it's hard to see. It's been so bad for so long. It's hard to see anything's ever going to change. I totally get that. I do. There are a lot of patriots in control and key spots of all around the country now, and more at the local level, who are really doing amazing things all out there, just doing whatever they can to organize, bring attention to things, and hold rallies. And I think in the next year and a half, it's going to be very interesting to watch how this all changes. Zach, you and I were talking about before the holidays. I'm just kind of looking forward to getting through this, and because things are going to, you know, the media is going to have to change the way they do things next year. And and the information flow is going to change next year. And look what's happened in only 26 days, bro. It's going to be an amazing ride. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm not seeing anything on negative on that front. I see them continuing the shiny objects and the false, you know, the rest of the stuff. But I still see great patriots all around this country standing up and doing great work.
Yes, absolutely. Spike Protein says, it's great that grassroots conservatives are becoming PCs, but be prepared that many of your fellow PCs will be establishment hacks. The establishment controls even many PCs, unfortunately, which is exactly why it's all the more important for you to get in there, join your county RNC, join your county Republican Party, and become a precinct committeeman. You can push those people out. Oftentimes, I've heard many stories from people, you have a group of patriots that come in and they all join the party. They put the pressure on the establishment hacks that are in there. And sometimes those people just, they say, you know, I've had enough. I don't want to deal with these people. And they'll walk away from it. But at the end of the day, it's an election, and it's an election that is taken from a fairly small pool. So there is a distinct possibility you can push those people out. There is rot. There is corruption at every level of politics here in America, okay? And the only way that we're going to excise that rot is for you guys to become the people that we are now trying to get out of office. So thank you very much to everybody for hanging out with us, and thank you very much, as always, to Abe, excuse me, for the awesome show. Let me go through the thank yous over here on Foxhole. Lou Ann V dropped a can. Boom, she said. I Zeke Truth says, I appreciate your show. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here with us. Sunny Day says, get to catch you live. Yay. Warrior Mima says, going into a sewer is not on my list of adventures. Mental illness is rampant. I think you're absolutely right. Let's see. Just Duckies, good to see you, buddy. He says, much love for you both and Red Pill Fiance, keeping her and her family in my prayers. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Philly 369 Garden dropped a can and says cheers. And then Just Ducky says, I think Paul is trying to offset his amazing crater records since all eyes on him and Nancy right now. Nakaz 808, what's up, brother? Good to see you. Great show as always. Also, I loved last night's show on Altered State. If you guys didn't get a chance to check it out, please check out Altered State and then Baseless Conspiracies on Monday. And actually today at 4 p.m., I'll be on Taking It Back with Adel and Frank, and that's at 4 p.m. on Badlands and on 412 Productions. And then Jay Bell, good to see you.
Yeah, I watched that last week. You guys had a great discussion last week. You guys should definitely check that show out.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much. And then Jay Bell, always a pleasure to see you out there. She drops some shades. Who cares? Said, dropped a cookie and says, five, Zach. High five, Zach. 07 Abe, good to see you. Rise Attire says, Mike Lindell taking over the RNC would be the equivalent to Elon taking over Twitter in terms of radical change. Absolutely. I totally can get behind that. And then a PB&J sandwich dropped a cookie and said, getting involved at the grassroots level is critical to impose change on the corrupt system. And before we go, guys, I just wanted to make you aware that you can get amazing merchandise from myself and from a whole bunch of other great patriots through Rise Attire. Check this out. We'll be right back. All right. Thank you to Rise Attire for the incredible work they do. Also, on Buy Me a Coffee, someone, an anonymous person, said, thank you for all you do. I live just about an hour and a half south of you. Hashtag Florida free. Florida is a great state. And then Leanne 63, looks like this was on Tuesday afternoon, said, afternoon, Zach and Thomas. All right. That's all I've got for you today, guys. Again, I'll be back today at 4 p.m. for Taking It Back. And then tonight at 7:30 for my special stream with Jake Lang. So I hope to see you at both of those places. Abe, what do you got, brother?
5 Eastern, 4 Central, another edition of Uncensored Abe, doing conspiracy analysis and checking out everything that's going on out there. We don't talk a lot about shiny objects, but we do talk about things that are important every day. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us every day, and we'll see you guys next Thursday. I always look forward to it, bro.
All right, good stuff. I'm going to drop these gold pills, and there you go. Okay, love y'all. We'll see you tonight. Good luck and God bless. Hit the like button. 599 likes. We still got 3,200 people here. I would really appreciate it. I would really, really appreciate it if you guys hit that like button on the way out. Please hit that like button. It means a lot, and it really, really helps the channel.